Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin.
And this is John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we're taking a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Now, Schwarzenegger is definitely the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
So this is chapter 3 of our breakdown of the classic, iconic Bloodsport. Fucking Van Damme at his finest.
Oh my God, peak Van Damme probably. I mean, it's sad to say, but it's true.
This and Kickboxer are my peak Van Damme flicks.
I've got a bunch of faves, and I know that people rag on Cyborg, but I'm a fan.
Cyborg, I liked Universal Soldier also. Yeah. Anywho. Those are for other podcasts.
That's neither here nor there. A later date, friends.
All right, we're going to pick up with...
The morning of
Kumite. Van Damme is doing as Van Damme, I assume, does every morning, which is just a long meditation sesh sprawled out between a couple of stools doing a split in his underwear, pajamas, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
He's
in the zone.
He's in the zone.
Zen place.
He doesn't even lock his door, apparently.
Yeah, we've gone ahead and figured out that that Frank, like, he finds his Zen place in a split. It's if you can exist in that level of that level of pain while meditating, then you're doing good.
I mean, when your body is a lethal weapon like Frank Dukes's is, you don't need to lock the hotel room door. You would just
this was
sit
a different
there,
time, my
just,
friend.
It was. So what we got his new best friend Jackson
just
lets
barging
himself
right in.
This has to be, I don't know what time of day actually, because he just was walking and talking with Janice, and I feel like it's the same day.
I was thinking
so it's got to be maybe early afternoon.
I was thinking about this earlier. Yeah, if Kumite is, I presume, at nighttime,
yeah.
then Frank is barging in like just after lunch, and he's
okay.
Or, Jackson rather has barged in several hours. You know,
beer in hand.
I mean,
that's how he pregames.
That's right.
Some people meditate and doing splits, and some people just shotgun a bunch of beers.
Jackson shotguns a beer. That's how he puts down the nerves.
I feel like he keeps a steady buzz going 24/7. Jackson.
Yeah, he has to. I love the line as he enters the room. It's like ground control to Frankie. Jumps up on the bed. Both feet on what is a twin bed. So
it a twin?
The Black Dragon Society is not splurging on hotel rooms for their guests. So it's a twin bed that he jumps up on and gets the iconic line, God, that hurts me just looking at
just,
it.
Yeah, you may want to have kids someday.
It's great.
That's awesome. Dude, once again, Donald Gibb, like, bringing the A-game.
Bringing a humor to an otherwise very bland movie.
Yeah, could you imagine this movie without the character of Jackson, or if Jackson was just, like, a serious guy?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah,
no,
you
can't.
Need that.
I can't.
You need the humor of him and that Victor Lynn brings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This would have been a total disaster were it not for Jackson.
Van Damme is a lot of things, but he's not funny.
No. And he tries to. There are a couple of like boyish, charming moments where he kind of like casts a snide look or delivers mm-hmm. what is supposed to be a zinger that delivered by a more deft hand would be be perceived as funny. But when he says it, it's like, oh, God.
Funniest action movie guy.
Oh,
what do you think?
Man.
I think Arnold's hilarious. Like his real life persona, he's a funny, charming guy. Like Stallone, I've seen try to be funny in movies, and not funny.
Stallone can't deliver humor. I don't know. Arnold's a great
Kurt Russell.
I was gonna say Kurt Russell or Mel Gibson. Are we still allowed to talk about Mel Gibson? He's got good timing.
He had good and. His movies before the crazy took over
are good.
Like Lethal Weapon.
Kurt Russell's solid, but Mel Gibson, Kurt Russell, those are really good ones.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's amazing.
So
Jack Burton.
Next, we got Dukes and Jackson and Lynn. They're heading to the actual Kumite Arena for day one of actual fighting. There's some type of opening ceremony going on.
We see some flag and fire twirling happening.
It's kind of the tension building of this part where the dude's talking about the history of Kumite and everything. It's kind of fucking awesome,
Hundreds of years. It's held every 5 years, so it's sort of like the contact karate secret Olympics.
Which you got to think, depending on what years you're in your prime, you may only have one Kumite in you then you're in your prime, or maybe two if you're lucky.
And then I love this scene too, because the Kokorukai guy sort of drops that this year the Black Dragon Society has been joined by the International Fighting Arts Association to co-sponsor the event, which is, for any of you who are who are up and up on your in real life Frank Dukes lore, is hysterical, because the IFAA, if you're nasty, is an organization, and we use that term very loosely, that Frank founded, also a term we use loosely, to basically pawn off his crazy stories to give his story some legitimacy, when in fact he is the only member, right?
He tells the stories, and then is like, no, they're legit, just check with the IFAA. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like, but apparently some journalist did a little digging, and like, yeah, every trace of that organization just leads back to Dukes
and no one else.
And no one else.
So yeah, give him a call. I love it. Is you probably call and his mom would answer the phone. Hello, this is the IFAA.
Duke's residence.
Or it's Doris Dukes or whatever the hell her name is.
Doris. The tension with the gongs and everything, like in this scene, and the close-ups of all the fighters sort of looking nervous,
but especially we get sort of a pivotal stare down, which sort of makes sense as the competition goes along. But we get a stare down of Jackson to Chong Li,
mm-hmm,
to Frank. So it's like this three-way.
I mean, those are obviously the most featured fighters.
Yeah, but I feel like, based on what we, like some lines delivered later, and we're definitely going to get into this, I feel like Jackson's coming into the Kumite with something to prove against Chong Li, knowing what he knows.
Do we think Jackson was in the last Kumite?
I don't think so, because Jackson, you really going to Hong Kong?
He would have said so, right?
You really going to Hong Kong? I think we've seen in the first scene that Jackson knows about it, but he's going to, like, bring the good old U.S.
to get Chong Li.
Yeah, I think he's coming down to prove something.
Okay. With his technique of no technique at all.
His technique of lumbering into the ring and being beaten up before he kills someone. So, yeah, so we see the guys placing bets.
Lin, Mr. Exposition, explaining all the rules, which are... the ways to win, which is a knockout.
Knockout.
You make the guy say mate, which, mm-hmm, is like, I give up or tapping out, whatever.
Like saying uncle.
Or you throw the dude off the platform.
Throw the fucker right off the runway. To which Jackson replies, piece of cake.
That's Jackson's biggest technique, is just to probably bully guys off the runway, totally. Right?
That's America, dude.
So I feel like the first fight is just like a pure fight. It's a couple of lesser featured fighters.
We get Brazilian jiu-jitsu, jungle fighting. I guess. We don't know what it is, but it's a style.
It's a style versus like an Asian dude.
And
it's a pretty sweet fight.
But he wipes the floor with a guy.
That is when I think he bloodies the guy's face, and that's when Jackson leans in with the titular line of, that's why they call this thing Bloodsport Kid.
Which I used to date a girl that was like, we would hold this like little bet with ourselves that at any point when someone says the name of the movie in the movie, that's too much to be born, and you can get up and walk out. So at this point, you are now allowed to get up and leave.
And then what next up is Jackson fighting up like a little European-looking dude.
Yes. He's
a tiny guy.
Yeah, he's a much, much smaller guy.
So I will say, in terms of realisticness, Frank Dukes at least paints a picture of a Kumite in which there are weight classes.
Right.
And in this thing, it's just anyone against anyone.
It's
any
no holds
size.
Barred. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Because this dude, Jackson's easily 100 pounds more than this guy.
At least.
Double his weight.
Yeah.
This guy's like tiny, even by Kumite standards.
So, and we love that in the first couple of fights, we see that there's a three-step process to ending the ring, much like in Karate Kid, where it's stand, bow, face, bow, fight. And so there's sort of this three-step signal from the ref. And so I can't remember what the words are. You guys can
tweet us,
and let us know what they are, because
my research said it's the Japanese equivalent of like ready, set, go.
Right. And so I just love that as that's happening and they sort of do the face bow, Jackson looks over at the guy and says, asshole.
I think he just doesn't like that guy's look.
Well, the dude's got
I can't blame him. He did look really smug.
He's got a mullet.
Euro trash.
And
mullet.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you're sporting a mullet, we encourage you to rock it. If I could still do it, I can. I've got some real estate growing in back.
but then the fight dude begins. Gets some blows off on, like, Jackson can't really get a hold of the guy. He's too quick. He's landing blows.
He lands like 5 or 6 punches and kicks before he gets a kick in that bloodies Jackson.
He bloodies his nose, and that pisses Jackson off. And Jackson just grabs him and like axe handle, like, clubs him over the head.
I just love that it's not in Jackson's fighting style, his bag of tricks, to even attempt a block of any kind. He's just like, he takes punishment direct.
No, yeah, defense is not his strong suit.
No.
He goes, he beats him, he's like celebrating, and he's like, yeah, look at the blood. And then he goes to Chong Li and singles him out of the crowd. And it's like, you, man.
I'm gonna kill you, man.
Yeah, you got it. And like,
you got it.
I can't tell. Did Chong Li look a little bit scared, or did he look amused?
I think that what was happening is that everyone, and I kind of like this bit of direction, that everyone's kind of looking around like, who's he talking to, before Chong Li realizes it's him. And then he sort of like looks over and smiles at Jackson as if to say, yeah, okay, that's
fine.
See,
I read it the same. Like, he's like, is this motherfucker talking to me?
I love this.
Does he know who I am?
I think that's something that Chong Li loves attention.
Oh, he loves himself, and he like is a, he's got a lot of self esteem, that Chong Li.
He's a believer. Chong Li's a firm believer in his own. that look that he gives Jackson definitely is like, okay, dude, I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that's prescient, because who is up next to fight but Chong Li? And again, we get some exposition by way of Lennon Jackson.
That's also weird that Dukes, who seems to be like a student of the Kumite, doesn't know who Chong Li is.
Well, he's the
defending champ. So if nothing else, you should know that he's the champ.
If the alleged backstory of this character is to believe Frank Dukes has been somewhere underground for the
Special CIA missions,
or what was he? A Green Beret, Special Forces of some kind. It doesn't say.
Yeah.
He's just some Special Forces CIA guy, and he's been on covert missions for the last 5 years. So I understand that he may not know who Chong Li is. He may not be savvy.
So Lin explains to us, and Jackson, I guess, that he killed a guy in the last Kumite. He's the defending champion. He holds all the records. He's never been defeated.
Kicked the poor bastard right in the throat and watched him die.
Yep. Which is, that's a shitty way to die.
That's stone cold right there.
So Chong Li fights this dude and just wipes the floor with him, right? He set a new record, fastest knockout
in
that fight.
But what we were just talking about is that I'm thinking that maybe the exposition, the explanation of what Chong Li did in the last Kumite is impetus enough for Jackson to be like, I'm coming after this guy because that's the guy to beat. He's a bully. I'm going to bully him. He doesn't really present the information in that way, but that's what made his taunt and challenge to Chong Li make sense to me.
And basically what, he kind of just grabs the dude and puts him in like almost a sleeper hold, chokes him out, and then smacks him in the head.
But even his fighting style, man, it's like he blows some snot rockets, right? And then
the disrespect.
And then he just saunters across the ring like Terminator. He just is a very robotic, matter-of-fact way of walking, counters some blows. He counters one punch. Punches himself, counters a kick, kicks himself.
We got to talk about Bolo Young. He's
got
like the bad guy's bad guy.
He's got a pedigree.
So awesome.
Yeah, he is top notch.
He's been bad guy in a few Van Damme movies. He was in Enter the Dragon as like the heavy, which was a decade earlier at least.
Yep.
He's like, he's just jacked. Like, yeah. I guess he was like a famous, he was also a famous bodybuilder and like Mr. Asia or Mr. whatever. And he was, so both him and Van Damme don't like have your typical martial artist physiques.
Right.
They're both bulky.
Right. They've got muscle.
But
which Frank Dukes took.
Dude, Bolo Young is like explosive with his movements, though. He's so fast.
Yep.
He's just a badass all around. And I will say I've watched in my research, we'll call it.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of really bad karate flicks. And it's rare when you get a guy who can really sell the action on screen. And Bolo Yeung is one of those guys. Like, he's got it on screen.
He
can bring it. You believe that he's really hurt or he's really hitting a guy.
Absolutely.
Or he's moving full speed.
And even with a character with as little dialogue as he's got, he's selling it with his facial expressions.
The dude can act.
Yeah.
He's at least Van Damme's equal as an actor.
I think he's better.
He probably is better. I mean, imagine he's able to speak his native language. He's probably awesome. Van Damme, I don't buy him, even in French, that he'd be a good actor.
Right. But also, Van Damme maintains that acting is something that can't be taught. So there's that.
Yeah.
Chung Lee lumbers across the ring, sleeper hold.
Sleeper holds the guy, then smacks him in the head.
Palm to the head.
And it's a world record knockout time.
14.8 seconds.
Is that right? 14.8? Okay.
Is interesting because in real life, Frank Duke says that typical Kumite matches last a max of like 6 seconds.
Well, yeah, he acted like you would almost fight with like one dude's foot on top of the other guy's foot, or like your elbows are touching, like that you start in super close quarters, which then it does stand to reason like the fights would go quick.
Right, exactly.
Wouldn't you know it, Frank Dukes' first fight is against Hossein, who he beefed with, not earlier this day, I suppose, right?
Frank's entering the ring, but the music changes, and we hear, like, Frank's almost meditative music changes at this part. We hear Paul Herzog bringing in, like, the wind chimes and stuff.
Hossein's, like, ready for this.
No, he is.
He's like, now I show you some trick or two. Oh,
that's so good.
It's so good. Yeah, he's like... the fact that it was, do you think the script was written in broken English?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's pretty great.
Sometimes, especially with this actor, I like to think that maybe he just, you know, I like to think of the writer standing right off stage, like right off camera and being like, I'm going to show you a trick or two, or now I'm going to show you a thing. Who even knows?
Yeah.
And he just like dropping
the best
it,
he can do.
Botching it. And they're like, fine, fuck it. Go. Just go.
We've done 100 takes. This is the closest got.
You hear Nude off camera. We'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
So what happens? Hossein throws a punch. Maybe Frank grabs it and like, takes him down, and then just with the threat of a punch,
he faints. Do you remember that scene in Crocodile Dundee where he puts the bull to sleep with his hand?
Yeah, of course.
Frank kind of does that hand motion.
It's like
Hossein.
A Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, and Hossein just like, just
yeah,
passes
he just
out.
Like was so scared, I guess, that he fainted.
At first, I was like, did he actually pass out? The fight was over. The ref kind of gestures that the fight's over, but then Hossein starts to kind of
he waked up pretty quick.
You see him come out of it, though. You can see that there's this moment of like, oh, I'm coming out of a stupor. I'm coming out of
now the knockout was already registered, I would think.
Right.
Which I guess you call that a knockout. He lost consciousness, I suppose.
So yeah, but Hossein jumps up to take a cheap shot.
He wants to try to cheap shot him, and Duke sort of, he's in the mid bow to the judges or whatever, and he spins and hits him with the elbow, knocks him out, and then completes the bow. Total badass move, of course. The janitor man, we never mentioned before, Hossein has a very prominent, like, one of his front teeth is like,
golden.
Is a gold tooth or whatever.
Giant gold tooth.
So now we got a tooth, not at all a front tooth. But there's a goldish tooth in the ring, and the janitor, in the most conspicuous manner possible, climbs in the ring, takes the tooth, puts it in his own mouth, I guess to test if it's actual gold.
He's a jeweler on the side.
And then it like makes a face and
starts to clean blood.
Sponges the blood.
Well, also, I love that right after Frank dispatches Hossein, that in that moment we cut to Chong Li, who's got this amused look as if to say, oh, that's pretty nifty. That was awesome that you did that fast.
Well, I thought he was pissed about the record.
Well, no. So there are two cuts to his face. So there's the cut to his face right after he knocks him out, and Chong Li's kind of like, oh, that was impressive. Then we get the bit with the gold tooth, and then immediately the world record sign flashes, and then you get this other shot of Chong Li, and
he's pissed.
Furious, man. It's like I flip. It's awesome. It's like a truck, like a switch. Like you see his face go from amused to enraged on a dime. And again, that speaks to the power of Bolo Yeung, his acting ability.
He's like, he sells it with just the facial expressions alone.
Yeah.
Now is when our Kumite song music like strikes up. Dude, this movie has killer montages.
Oh, it does.
It's like, there's at least 5 or 6 montages in the movie, and they're all awesome.
It's one long montage of montages.
There's like, God, the man, this fight. You're seeing like a mixture of really good fighting.
Lots of silk geese.
Lots of silk.
Lots of trim, ripped Asian guys throwing down.
You know what? And also, there was no stunt performers in the movie. I mean, everyone who were fighters were, I guess, real fighters, all or at least fake guys. Their own fighting. I think Donald Gibb was the only guy who wasn't a trained fighter.
He was a menace to everyone in the building.
But he's still, like, doing his own stunts, totally. Such as they are. Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
We got our first look of Monkey Style.
Oh, yeah, our Monkey Style guy. He's, like hopping around the ring.
He's doing
making
barrel,
it work.
He's doing barrel rolls and doing his thing and karate chopping people. We get a Muay Thai guy.
He's, like, hella elusive, yeah. You get the sumo guy beating dudes down.
Muay Thai guy.
Muay Thai guy. All types of anything you can imagine.
And then Jackson just throwing people out of the ring. Just
oh, yeah. Jackson's sailing guys people off the ring. This song, the Kumite song, I'll call it. What's it called? Fight to Survive,
Fight to Survive. You can call it the Kumite song. We all
know
it's
done by Stan Bush, who fans of bad movies may know. I didn't know who he was, really, but he did the You've Got the Touch Transformers song. He did another song in this movie, the sad, like, montage song.
Oh, my God. You Got the Touch. When was the last time I don't know. Transformers counts. I'm saying right now, Transformers counts.
As what?
As a Six Action Degrees flick? Of Schwarzenegger, man.
Yeah.
I just whistled with my teeth. Sorry. That counts as a Six Degrees of Schwarzenegger flick.
Shits Degrees.
Counts.
So he did that song, badass. He did other songs for this movie, and then he did original songs for Kickboxer, which are like killer songs as well. In the same cheesy way that this one is.
Well, I had no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah. He made a career for himself writing
this
sort of cheesy music for 80s flicks.
But that's great because I remember the last time that I watched especially Transformers the movie, which has been, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Like the music, like those songs, Mr. Bush's songs, they're kick ass. Like I was like, there's like legit musicians going at it on this thing. That's
Can
really
you
good.
Be my friend still if I say I've never seen the Transformers movie?
Of course. Okay. No one has.
I've never seen it. Yeah. There's a lot of movies that I'm ashamed as a,
you don't have to
as
be
a
ashamed.
Bad movie aficionado to say I've never seen Master of the Universe.
I would say I would say, well, I don't know if I can forgive you for that.
Flash Gordon.
I've never seen,
I've
Flash
never
Gordon.
Seen it.
We've, oh my God. We're
I have friends
angry,
that swear by it.
Angry tweets.
I've got friends clamoring to be guests on the Flash Gordon episodes when we get to it. So I guess we'll have to make that happen.
Well, I want
to
watch and just stand by and be like, here's my meager contribution to someone who's never been a lifelong fan. All I know, my only reference for that is Queen and
the
Max
song
Fon-
is killer.
And Max Fonsito.
Yeah.
Who plays the bad guy.
Now,
he's a legend.
So there's an awesome, awesome fighting montage. We get a real feel for what the Kumite is all about.
Uh-huh.
Now, meanwhile, Helmer and Rollins, they're at lunch, open air, whatever. They're picking at, they're like two hand chopsticking.
Giant chunks. It looks like they're eating miniature
eel,
birds.
I think it was supposed to be eel.
But there's giant chunks of stuff. Like
it's just
meat.
Big chunks of dark matter.
But I would eat it. It looks delicious to
me. You were into it?
I think it looks amazing. But Rollins eating poorly with chopsticks, is yours as good as mine is? And it doesn't look like he's had a single bite.
He's got like one chopstick sort of skewered through a piece. That's the closest he can get.
And he's stirring another one in a bowl, like trying to get it to soak up sauce.
And I think his guy, Helmer, is like, you got to get somebody to kill it first or whatever.
I haven't tasted it yet.
But so,
when who should walk up, but...
Oh, good old Inspector Chin comes strolling up. I don't know how he found them.
Well, I think that's the gag is that Chin knows where everyone is at all times.
Okay.
Remember where they're like I'll find you, and they're like, do you know where we're staying? In an earlier episode,
uh-huh.
Like at the beginning of the movie, he's like, do you know where we're staying? He's like, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I know where
you
are.
So he's got his ear to the ground.
He knows.
Chin
knows where everything is. Like, he knows everything that's going on.
This is the awesome moment where he's like, he gives him a lead on Dukes. Like, I know where you can find Dukes. And Rollins tries to offer him some of the food. Or is it Rollins?
Well, I think Helmer's like, why don't you join us?
Join us. And Chin.
Throw some shade.
Is it the most underrated line in the movie? I
Maybe.
Think? He's like, I never eat here.
I would never eat here.
That's so awesome. I can only. I imagine it's just the worst food you can find in
like,
Hong Kong.
It's like where Americans go for what is the most similar thing to American Chinese takeout. I would never eat here.
Then there's the gag at the end of that scene where they chuck a piece of the eel or whatever to the dog, and the dog like isn't
Chow Chow is like, no, thank you. No thanks. And so anyway, they run off to find
Dukes. To the East Lake Hotel.
East Lake Hotel.
Where he's chilling with
stupid
Jackson.
Americans. Yep.
Now, this is the middle of the day. Is it the next day after the Kumite fighting was happening? It can't be same day, right?
It's the... Well, all right, well...
It would have to be the next day.
No, this clears something up. This clears something up. Because Janice and Frank's date was supposed to take place the night.
Okay.
So this... Now we can rewind. Everything is coming into
our
place.
Timetable. Our timetable. So Hossein was trying to get rapey probably at 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m.
Maybe shortly, fighting started at noon.
Or all that stuff happened the night before. Check-in happened the night before. Hossein was trying to get rapey with Janice early the next morning.
Early morning rape.
Frank left to go meditate.
Around Jackson, just before lunchtime.
Jackson comes in right before lunchtime. They check in, do Kumite.
Maybe Kumite is like noon until 5 or 6.
They're on a lunch
schedule.
Then it's dinner time.
So they're unwinding with some drinks. Frank is pre-gaming before his big date with Janice.
Well, Frank is drinking water in the scene. Jackson is 3 beers in.
He's got a table full of beers.
Okay,
yes.
So I like that we cleared up. Thank you. This is wonderful. This is why we do this.
So the dudes come in. They're like, hey, Frank, we got to take you in, or whatever it is.
And we hear a little bit of exposition here that the government has invested a lot of time and money in you, Frank, and Uncle Sam can't afford to let you get hurt.
That's the only inkling, I feel like, in the movie that we get that he's something more than just a regular soldier.
I think there's something like one line later, but it's never any more clear than that Frank's a valuable asset for some reason.
Now, what's weird to me is Jackson... He's just ride or die for Frank immediately. He's willing to die
to
help Frank. And honestly, he doesn't know the situation. And truthfully, the MPs are in the right. Like, Frank went AWOL.
Frank is AWOL. He's broken the code.
Yeah.
Which, for someone who's all about some honor,
yeah.
Does one, I guess, one honor supersedes
another
honor?
He lives for the Kumite.
Well, he lives for his Shidoshi.
He lives for Shidoshi Tanaka.
You can say that his views are skewed, but...
But Jackson sort of bum rushes the guys.
Totally.
And Frank runs out.
Not before they like, don't make us.
Oh, they have the tasers.
Don't make us. What look like old school dustbusters. They're enormous. They pull out these dustbuster looking fucking tasers. And I was shocked. I don't know about you to hear when he says, Helmer says, don't make us put 50,000 volts in you. And I was startled by that number. And I was like, I feel like it takes, like, a toaster operates at less voltage than that. And 50,000 is what a typical taser, it's like one pulse, 50,000 volts, stuns your ass. That's why it does it, because it incapacitates you.
It puts you down.
You are electrocuted by any state that still does the electric chair at 2,000 to 2,200 volts continuous current. That's all they
Until you're dead?
Why don't they just do 50,000 and make it and just do it like for 10 seconds and you're dead? Or
I don't know.
Like 2 seconds and you're dead.
Yeah, I do. The
pain threshold, you feel like at 2,000 versus 50,000, you're going to feel some pain on the lower end of that spectrum, and you're not going to feel any pain at the other.
That's bonkers.
That's a different conversation for another time.
Is there a reason why they had tasers and not guns?
Because it's sort of like set for stun. Like, they don't want to bring him in. They don't want to maim him.
That makes sense.
He's that muscle, that ass is worth a lot of money. He is United States property.
Now we get another amazing sequence in the film, the Bigfoot chase, with terrible song playing. It's like a Duran Duran kind of knockoff.
Which I kind of feel like it's at this point that they're looking at total runtime and Newt Arnold's in the background going, I don't know what we're going to do. How do we make up the time? And Van Damme's like, let them chase me.
Let them chase me.
I can totally, this scene would be great. Let them chase me.
Dukes, he's having so much fun being chased.
Stopping at every
He's
At
like
every
my
turn,
dog to sort of showboat and wave to
oh,
him.
Oh, man, just it's totally like, mugging.
There's a thing, he's running down the alley with, like, the fruits and all that set up, and he, like, hurdles a crate of oranges but crashes right into an old lady.
You're not supposed to see that, Kevin.
I feel like That old lady, I don't think she was in on the fact that there was a movie happening.
I don't think that 90% of the people that were extras in this movie knew that anything was
I think
going
they set
on.
A tripod down, and they're just like, we're going to film. He's going to run down the alley. The old woman just have to walk right in because he kind of grabs her.
The only people that were wise on the fact that this was a motion picture were the people in the Eastlake Hotel lobby and the people in the Kumite.
In the Kumite
and,
arena?
And no one else knew what was happening ever. That's my theory.
He keeps teasing them.
Oh man, he mugs three times.
He jumps up on top of like the thing in the middle of the traffic, and he's like waving at them. Then yeah. he's yeah, like
everything he does, he's a total
definitely
asshole.
Taunting these guys, and it is funny to watch. Sort of husky Forrest Whitaker and Helmer run.
He jumps up on the stone fence in some kind of an esplanade. And,
wow.
And yeah, no, right? There's a vocabulary word for it. And he waves at the guys. He sort of does this grand singing in the rain mm-hmm. gesture.
Yes.
And then keeps running. And then, yes, exactly.
Physically, there's not a lot of guys who have more charisma than Van Damme.
No.
Like, he just doesn't have it when it comes time to talk.
Right. But... also physically in this scene, you get some like some great selling of some buffoonish of some buffoonish like pratfalls and like bumbles from Forrest Whitaker and from the guy, whoever the guy is that plays Helmer.
Frank, he leads him down to like cross over water.
Yeah, they're
like,
jumping from boat to boat.
The dudes, Frank of course is graceful. The other guys are like bumbling idiots.
But mad props to them for taking, like there's a lot of actors I think in today's Hollywood that would be like, no thanks, I'm not going to do that. Great. Yeah. They couldn't pay stunt guys. So.
Frank, he eludes them. They fall in the water, which I can't even imagine how toxic the water must be in,
like
in Kowloon Bay.
Instantaneous gastrointestinal infection. Like,
yeah, any open cuts, any orifice.
We're going to have to cut that off.
Yeah.
And then Frank.
He made it in time for dinner.
He rides away in a rickshaw.
He hops a rickshaw and sort of waves at him in the water.
On the way to dinner
and
with Janice.
And friggin' Helmer, I feel like, let that water in his mouth.
Do you think, because I wondered about that, I wondered if they're like, if maybe there were stunt people for that scene where the two guys actually fall in because all you see is sort of their backs.
It
falling.
Is their backs.
And then you see them on the side. And I'm wondering, did they just hang on and they douse them with water and then...
They could never have found someone to double Forrest Whitaker in Hong Kong. So I think he probably fell for real. I want to feel like Helmer fell for real also.
I'm going to tweet Forrest Whitaker.
But I bet they might have poured some clean water in his mouth and let him spit clean water out.
There's no way that...
You shouldn't let that water in your mouth.
No, man. There's
like mercury and whatever else in there.
Diesel, like everything.
Yeah.
Like it, toxic waste. Don't put that in your mouth.
And Dukes, he hops in his rickshaw. He makes it back to the hotel or wherever in time for his big date with Janice, the reporter.
And then it's time for everyone to put their sexy on.
It's time for him to seal the deal.
Is putting your sexy on a thing or did I make that up?
No, that was I don't know what, yes. If it's a thing now.
It is now. Congratulations, everyone. You've been here at the coining of a phrase.
Basically, we've got Janice. It's like, she's...
Presentable?
She's I guess she looks good for the 80s. I don't know. She never really did it for me.
She looks great.
She looks
Janice
great?
Looks,
okay.
Looks, I think for the movie that they're making, and this is no knock to Leah Ayers, who, if you ever hear this, you were smoking. You were in very, very good shape. The hair was a style. It was the times.
It was a perm, but that was the 80s.
And I think that for what they're going for, that she was exactly what they needed.
Now, she's not making any like effort to hide the fact that she really just wants information about the Kumite.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
She's pumping him for information. He's not giving it up.
Yeah.
But she's still down to clown. Like, they wind up. She's like, well, even if you won't tell me anything, I'd really like to get to know you.
Oh, we've got all night.
We've got all night.
Oh,
they're back.
Man.
Cut to the next morning.
There's an implied coital cut to the next morning.
Absolutely. Like, and he's sort of like, he's pulling his like little maroon briefs up.
She's sort of coming to and rubbing off the sleep of the night before and grins real big to turn around and see that ass.
He's like, but he's somehow simultaneously lowering the briefs and then bringing them back up again.
That's the last tuck and pull. I don't wear briefs, so I don't know if that's
I don't
a thing.
Know either.
I'm going to assume that it is when your ass is that sculpted.
Yeah, it's
John
like
Bond, way to go.
It's a multi-stage process to get your underwear on when you're like that chiseled.
Absolutely.
But
And but that also that implies that she was waking up, he was getting dressed, he was trying to sneak out.
He was ghosting on her fully.
He was trying to make it down to the East Lake for the breakfast buffet.
I don't know how early it is in the morning, but I guess Kumite is about to start maybe.
Yeah. No, they've gotten to lunchtime.
I guess it could be noon already.
I feel like Frank's slow getting ready. He's got to do splits meditation. He's got a very specific regimen, and that means being late for Kumite every day.
He's been
day.
Doing butt naked splits for the last hour.
And she's been asleep.
She's slept through all that.
She missed just
he put those briefs on though so seductively.
Yeah.
He's got that
but
move
he was,
down.
But he was sneaking out. That's
he
what
was
saying.
Definitely trying to
but
ghost
then,
on
but
her.
But then when he sees that she's awake, he immediately jumps into bed.
Yeah, he jumps in. They're sort of like very tender moment for what is
a one night stand.
A one night stand. I mean, like, I mean, let's be real.
But when it's, I mean, you, there's two.
Is
ways
it love at first sight?
There's two ways. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so
I think
either.
When this movie ends, there's. No
I think
way.
She just had that Van Damme thirst.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there are two ways that a one night stand can go. It's waking up and doing a lot of like.
Oh, hey. See you again.
Just like,
never.
Wow. Like some awkward.
What was your name
like, oh
again?
My God, that was
and then
weird, right?
Yeah,
that was totally weird.
Then I suppose there's the, hey babe, it's we had a great time last
had a
night,
real
didn't
connection.
We?
So like, much so that since I know we're here for two more days, we should have dinner again tonight.
She wanted to see him that next night, even though he's like, I'm not giving you any information about Kumite, and she's like, well, we should still have dinner again.
She maybe he did splits for her. I don't know.
Dude, she's got that thirst. She got the fever for Van
Janice
Damme.
Definitely wants to see him again.
So that's definitely going to happen, oh, yeah. Right? And then Van Damme rolls in late to Kumite.
Per usual.
Lynn is pissed off that he's like...
Always.
He's like, dude, you can't disappear on me.
You can't just disappear.
Right. This is like... Anyway. Meanwhile. What's weird is... So we assume... Van Damme sprinted from Janice's back to his place, got his gear on whatever.
I think he had to do splits and meditation first.
Oh, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
That explains, so Janice has entered the Kumite with the main like high roller better guy.
I think that Frank has left to go get himself centered. And Janice is like, because you see her jump up out of bed right as Frank is leaving.
That's true. The second the door closed, she was like on her game.
She was reaching in that Rolodex that she carries around to be like, what's that better's name?
How many dudes have smashed since she's been here working on this story?
Janice?
Yeah. A lot?
Frank?
A few?
I think... Oh, God,
she
I
had to
know.
Do something for that gambler.
How long do you think she's been in town prior? Also,
a week.
Is she a Hong Kong correspondent, or is she in town based on some intel that she's gotten
elsewhere? She's freelance. She's here because they've heard rumors of the Kumite.
You would think that she would at least be able to like speak the language somewhat. I don't think this is ever confirmed.
You would never hear her say a word in Chinese or whatever.
I don't know. She jumps on the Rolodex pretty fast. I think she's already got the next name lined up. And in fact, I think that if she hadn't run into Frank... in the Hossein incident, that maybe the bookie would have been the next call. So maybe she moved to the next spot on the list after that incident with Hossein. Who knows?
So she sort of enters sneakily in the background, right? But meanwhile, Jackson is front and center. He's showing his own like brick tricks.
I've got my own Dim Mac assholes.
he smashes the top brick, breaks it. Then he's like showing the judges like the second breakdown. Look, there's not a scratch on it. I'm like, I don't see how that's impressive, personally.
Oh, my God. It's a joke. It's supposed to be
a joke.
No,
you think Jackson was making a joke?
Yes, he was saying, I destroyed this brick, and look, the other one, not a scratch on it.
Like, then they're like, not Dim Mac.
He's like, and then proceeds to crush one against his head.
Crush on his head. That's badass. I mean, it's a prop brick, but if you did that for real, yeah, that's awesome.
But by any measure, but what's hysterical is for you.
The bearded judge definitely seemed either impressed or intimidated by that move.
Or amused. Like, to be honest, it was hysterical.
And, that's about the time that Dukes notices that Janice is there with the high roller, the featured gambler guy.
The featured bookie.
And she's looking, I guess, hot.
She looks great.
You like that look?
I mean,
hair like pulled to the side.
That's a very like 80s glamour, like Jen and the Holograms.
Yeah, that's true. That was in vogue.
It's very 80s. Yeah, she's looking.
It was of the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the dress.
I mean,
super low cut.
Yeah, she looked great. She's fit. She's beautiful.
I'm glad that you like her look. There's something about her look that just doesn't really do it for me.
Well, I get it. I understand. It's the 1980s. It's hard to like transport yourself to a place in time where that was that now, was the look. But
the presumption for Van Damme should be that she did something for this guy
to be here. Or at least made...
Or at least dangling it.
Yeah. She made overtures, as it were.
Yeah, and Van Damme just seems amused as all hell about it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's her job. She's a reporter.
And I mean, I think she didn't mean shit to him.
No. Well, I don't know.
Do you think he liked her for real?
How many girlfriends do you think Frank has had?
Frank Dukes?
Yeah. At this point.
Let's see. Once he got his karate swagger down, I bet he started pulling chicks.
He went straight into the military. A dozen, at least. He went straight into the military. Like right out of high
school. If we asked the real Frank Dukes, he would say he slept with 10,000 women.
Well, he would either say that or he'd be like, I was too concentrated on my martial arts.
Too pure.
I've never slept with a woman.
Ever.
I've never even been interested. Once you get in a zen place, it's not something you crave. Okay, Frank.
So,
or he's banged 10,000 women.
I don't think she means shit to him. I think he's just like, okay, yeah, do what you want to do, babe. I'll see you again later tonight. I'll knock that out again.
I think that he's a little more, if you read like stories about like Casanova, and that is that he could be whatever you wanted him to be. So if you were a gentle lover, he was a gentle lover. If you wanted to be a little animal, he was an animal with you.
Okay.
And so I think that in that situation, he was a perfect gentleman.
Okay.
I don't think
he gave her exactly what she wanted.
I think, and he was looking to get exactly what he wanted. But even in that scene where they have the exchange, where she's trying to get information, he seems very naive, very innocent, and she's very much like...
I think that's his play.
You think so?
I think that's his act.
She thinks she's the aggressor,
like,
but he's
I barely understand
in.
English.
So what you're saying is that he's performing mental sexual martial arts.
Yeah, he's
arts.
Like a fucking Jedi.
He's a ninja. He's a sex ninja.
He's a sexual ninja.
All right, well, I like that. I don't think there are any misgivings about the fact that Janice has either made over overtures of sexual intercourse with lead bookie number one.
And it's definitely that situation of like, hey, look, Janice, we both know what this is.
Yeah, and she's aware.
Like, we're here for the kumite.
And she even says, this is not the first time I've gone undercover to get a story.
Oh, poor Janice.
She went through the Rolodex.
God bless her. She's, you know, she's an empowered 80s woman.
She is.
She knows what the fuck she's doing.
She is. She
I
is
like
powerful.
That. That's the story I'm going to stick with.
There you go.
She's taking advantage of these guys, if anything.
Exactly. Or okay. She thinks she is, which is fine. That's all that matters.
I feel like leading into the next kumite action is as good a place as any to wind this one down.
I think so. The bourbon is talking at this point. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been drinking, we encourage you to rewind this.
Start drinking. It'll
beginning.
Be a lot funnier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time we'll remind you at the beginning.
We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, you guys.